The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
And joining me this week to place her reads on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf, I'm delighted to say, is one of the world's most famous authors, number one New York Times bestselling author of the novel that you will know, I'm sure most of you, The Help, which of course was adapted into an Academy Award winning film of the same name. Catherine Stockett, you are very welcome. How are you?
I'm very good. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm delighted to have you. I really am. I'm a little bit awestruck because you probably are one of the most famous authors in the world. And a new book coming out after quite a long gap.
Yeah, 17 years, they tell me.
That's like Margaret Atwood. That's quite terrifying, I would imagine. The new book being called The Calamity Club.
Yes, The Calamity Club. It's my second book.
Your second book, but yet your first book sold millions of copies everywhere, really.
It did. It surprised no one more than me when I first started writing The Help. You know, I didn't think anybody was actually going to read it. And to back that up, I had 60 rejections. I still have those letters in a drawer somewhere.
It must. I know you're saying that you thought no one was going to believe you, but like when you get to 60 rejections and you still keep going, it must say that on some level, you knew you had something good.
I think the nice word for it is tenacity, but the truth is I'm just real stubborn.
Well, that's kind of fair enough. But also, I still think you must have known. I mean, the film was wonderful. The book was wonderful. Everybody took something from it. The characters were wonderful. The female characters, obviously, in particular, and all that, I suppose, peeling back of hypocrisy and poking at social order and all of that. Is that what we can expect in the new book, The Calamity Club?
Yes. And I think any book I ever write in my life will be about the hypocrisy and the absurdities that go along with living in the American South.
Okay. And that's, we can probably tell from your accent, that's your stomping ground. You're not just writing from a place of you don't know about this. This is you're born and bred.
This might be the only thing I know about is the state of Mississippi. I was born in a town called Jackson, which is the capital. And, you know, when I first started writing The Help, it was right after 9/11, just a few days after that. And they had cut our phones off and barricaded us into our neighborhood. So I couldn't even call my family in Mississippi. And I got really homesick at that time. And so I started writing in the voices, you know, of my childhood and from my hometown. And as I said, I didn't expect anybody would actually read it. And then, you know, after many, many rejection letters, and I finally landed an agent, I didn't really think anybody outside of Mississippi would be interested in reading it.
You didn't think those themes were universal enough?
I guess as a writer, you know, you really are just writing for yourself. Mm. And I had no idea, you know, it was my first one. It was the debut. No one tells you these things. No one can tell me, you know, the future and have me actually believe it. So when I sat down to write The Calamity Club, the second book, you know, instead of just me alone in a room writing to entertain myself and answer my own questions, now it was me with all those readers and critics staring back at me.
And all those expectations, because it must be like people joke about that difficult second album, but this is that difficult second novel.
Oh, yeah. I guess I am a pretty good example of that. It was paralyzing at times.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about, because I know what it's about, but the themes that are within it, it's also set in Mississippi, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
And it's also a kind of a period piece. It's set in the 30s.
It's set in 1933, which is really when the Great Depression around America got to be really just, people were feeling the pain. And it's told in two voices, the voice of Meg, who is an orphan living in an orphanage in Oxford, Mississippi, which is where the University of Mississippi is, but still a very small town. But Meg's mother went to the store one day and never came back. And 2 years later, we meet her sitting in the orphanage, realizing that she is unadoptable because nobody wants to adopt the big girls. They only want the babies. And she really has a terrible future ahead of her. When you turn 12 years old in this orphanage, they send you down to what they call the cannery, the factory, to can vegetables. There were no child labor laws regarding canning seasonal vegetables at that time. And the second voice is a woman named Bertie Calhoun. It's a very Irish name. And she's 24 and already considered kind of a spinster amongst her family. And she's come to Oxford to ask her little sister for money because their family, like so many, has fallen on hard times. And these two characters meet, and their stories intertwine.
I don't want you to give too much away, but those kind of the help was very uplifting, I thought. And there was a lot of women who were absolute bitches as well, but there was a lot of women being good to women and trying to empower other women and you know, characters that kind of shone as good and supportive and all of that. Will we see that same kind of female solidarity in this one?
Very strong theme of sisterhood. I gotta say, I don't think the men are ever gonna fare very well in any of my stories. I have no trouble with men. I have no problem with them. It's just, I like to write about women that come together as a group to figure out how to solve a problem. I find it so entertaining. I mean, I laughed a lot myself writing this book. But when women get together, you know, we know how to crack through it.
I can't wait to read it. I have my hand on a copy here, and I'm really looking forward to it because I actually loved the help. Because we're also talking about the bookshelf, you're going to put some of your reads on the bookshelf. What is your favorite book?
Oh, by far. The Secret History by Donna Tartt. You probably, a lot of you know it.
Yes.
But what you might not know is that Donna Tartt is from Mississippi, and she's just a few years older than me. And when I first read this book and realized that a young woman from my home state had written a story, and it was this good, it was the first time I felt like I had permission to write a book that I don't think it's as good as The Secret History, but I think that it just opened the door for me.
That's so interesting, because I didn't read it as a writer. I read it as a reader, and I thought what was fascinating about it is I read it when I was reasonably young. I think I was still in college.
Yeah.
And she's talking about the characters who are also young and in college, and she was saying, you know, when you're at that time in your life where you form, where you become who you're going to be, and where you kind of lock in on your future self in a way. And I recognized lots of stuff happened in it that I don't recognize in myself, but I recognized some of this in me. You know, you're trying to be pseudo intellectual, and you're trying to, you know, all of that stuff. And it's a book that stays with people, isn't it? I know lots of people who, when they talk about one of their favorite books, they will name The Secret History.
Yeah, yeah, it's universal. It's a fabulous story.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, I think I might have to go back and read it again. The last book you read.
Kin by Tayari Jones. She's an American writer and just fantastic. And it's the story of two close friends, you know, sort of sisters that find themselves split apart and they miss each other so much. And it's a fabulous tale.
Okay. And honorable mentions, another one that you would put there for or recommend.
Oh, boy. I'm a big fan of Mary Carr. She's a memoirist. I think she's the best memoir writer alive today. And she wrote a book called The Liars Club and then a follow-up book called Cherry. And she's written several books after that. But those really, like, gave me voice, helped me get inside of a character. And of course, she's just working off of memory. And for me, it helped me understand how to build a human being on a page.
Wow, that's very impactful. I noticed that everybody you've chosen is a female writer.
No accident there.
No, no. And that kind of female solidarity, it's funny, it's quite often that we have people recommending, particularly when we have male people sitting in your chair, when men come in, that they're very interesting. They recommend much more nonfiction than fiction, and they recommend much more male writers than female writers. Do you think that there is something different in how the genders perceive writing and reading?
Well, I think that, like you said, with the secret history, we read and write to sort of find out about ourselves. And when we can identify with a character, and what I identify with is usually a woman in trouble, because I have seen so much trouble in my life and been in so much trouble. Yeah, I think it's just, you know, it's something that a lot of these characters in the Calamity Club are also looking for, like, where do I fit in this world? And yeah, I think that's something that a lot of us have to ask ourselves.
It's funny you say that, not that you would identify with women or whatever, that's completely normal, but you say they're in trouble, and I identify with that, because most people would look at you and go, up there in the top 10% successful women in the world, perhaps?
Oh, I don't know about that, but thank you.
People would presume you got it all sorted.
Absolutely. Have nothing sorted out. Every day is a challenge. I make mistakes every day. And, you know, I'm often asked, what is your advice to young writers or even just to young women who are trying to make it in the world? And my advice to them is always, it is okay to make mistakes. This is how we learn. But as women, so often we are trained that it is our problem to solve. And we often think that we have to do it alone. And that's not true. And I think the Calamity Club is proof of that.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, one other theme I've seen in your books is some of your characters have that perfectionism thing. I think women have that too. Is that something you identify with?
I do. It's just this boundary that we put around ourselves that if we make a mistake, that's it. We're going to be called out forever. And I think maybe it has something to do with the fact that women have not had all the rights that men have had for really that long. I mean, 100 years, really. And it's just like we're so afraid that if we make a mistake, we might lose it.
It's absolutely fascinating. Look, I can't wait to read The Calamity Club. Catherine Stockett, just so delighted that you've joined us this evening on The Bookshelf.
Thank you so much.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.